Fat Guys DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Happy Tuesday, right? Tuesday, yeah. Could have been Tuesday, could have been Wednesday. That's not too bad. We do the Think Tank every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Ian Mackey's one of our very favorite guys that we have on. Jean Evans is running a little bit late. There's some traffic out there. She'll be along shortly. Introduce us to our new friend.
Yeah, so with me today is my colleague from the Lee Summit area in the Kansas City region, Representative Carrie Engel.
Very nice to meet you, Carrie.
Very nice to be here.
Kind of introduce yourself to the KMOX audience.
Yeah, so I'm a state representative from Kansas City, Lee Summit area, like Ian said. I've served in the House with him for the last 6 years. I'm a social worker, and so I've served in that community for a really long time, primarily serving underserved communities, really vulnerable people, whether it's substance abuse, mental health disorders, child welfare, all of those things.
Good for you. Crystal, yeah. I didn't realize that Crystal Quaid was a social worker as well before she went into politics. So
she is.
What was it about that that drew you in?
So social work, primarily, we're focused on policy and how it impacts the folks that we're serving in the community, the real life impacts
the
of policies.
The real people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very
and so being able to do that at the macro level and be able to influence legislation that is going to have that direct impact is really meaningful.
And does it feel like it has a direct connection between what you guys are doing in Jeff City and what happens to people on the ground now that you're in the machine? Can you feel it and see, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually been able to get a couple of child welfare reform bills passed during my time in the legislature that we've actually gotten to
good
see impacts on that. And we've seen people prosecuted.
That must be amazing.
Yeah, it makes it worth all of the crazy.
Is it rare when that happens, when you're like, I have an idea, and it's like Schoolhouse Rock, like I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill. Like when you have an idea and it comes to fruition and the governor signs it and people are affected, that must be an incredible high.
It is. And it's a little bit surreal. I mean, I remember, yeah, the first time that happened to me, and I'm sure Carrie was the same. I mean, it didn't really hit me until after the bill signing and I walk out with that sheet and I have the folder and I have the pen and I have it signed. And I was walking to my car with it in my hand when it hit me like, whoa, wait,
I bet.
We just went through all of those hurdles and convinced all of these people that this was a change in our law that we needed to make, which is a huge thing to do,
yeah.
Which is why so many bills get passed and so many don't, you know, so many bills get proposed and so few get passed is because it is a really big deal to change the law and to realize that you were able to do it. But like the issue Carrie worked on, which was regulating our boarding schools that were just rampantly abusing kids with no oversight, or the issue that I've been working on with seclusion rooms in our public schools, you get these issues once in a while that just are lightning rod issues. And as soon as you've picked up that ball and you realize, oh, wow, there are lots of people on the other side, lots of people on my side that are all moving the same direction.
Yeah.
You realize you have that momentum and can get it done.
Yeah.
Then it's a really good feeling.
So obviously St. Louis, where I make my home, is very St. Louis centric. It takes up a lot of the oxygen the way that Chicago does in Illinois. Being from the western part of the state, and you can be completely honest about this, like how did you grow up viewing the St. Louis area? How do you view it now as a legislator that it's, you know, across the state from where you are responsible?
So I'm a transplant to the Kansas City area. I was a military kid, so I've literally lived all over the world. Kansas City is the place that I've lived the longest. Mm-hmm. It's where both of my kids were born. And so from that perspective, it's a little bit different than people, I'm sure, who were born and raised there. But
yeah,
it definitely feels, we joke that Kansas City is like the West Coast, and St. Louis is like the East Coast. And then you've got, you know, the Midwest in between, which is the Ozarks.
Kind of like that.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so many of us are representing communities that we did not grow up in. That is way more common, I think, than people realize. There are so many of us who are representing urban areas that grew up in rural areas. So many folks, you know, like Carrie mentioned, whose parents had jobs that moved them around and they traveled. Folks who came here for college and then stuck around, you know,
yeah,
all those sorts of things. And of course, there's people who were born and raised in their district who represent that area. But so many folks represent communities that they did not grow up in.
This is probably mean, but the amount of time I have spent in KC, which is mostly driving through, but I've spent a little bit of time there. Even back when I was an attorney all that time ago and I did cases there, it always struck me that KC is like St. Louis, but nicer and cleaner.
Yeah.
They just scrubbed us off, you know, gave us a good shower.
Kansas Cityans are known for being kind. We love our city. We try to welcome people when they're there. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely the vibe.
I think it's that East Coast, West Coast she was talking about.
Yeah.
We embrace our hard edges over here. We embrace our rough edges, and there's nothing wrong with that.
We like scaring people.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in downtown. Stop at that gas station. You're fine. So what's on your radar? What kind of stuff you want to talk about today?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, the governor's race coming up here in 50 days. I mean, obviously the presidential race, but as much as I would love for our side to capture the electoral votes that are up for grabs in Missouri, it is what it is. But I think, that it's a little bit different when you look down ballot and you look at the balance of power in Jefferson City, and whether that's the state house where there's just a few seats in play to really tip the scales, not in terms of majority and minority, but in terms of the amount of power that the majority and minority has down there in Jefferson City. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the race for governor, I think it's going to be closer than people expect. I think there's an opportunity really for that to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. How close do you think it could be? Gene?
I think we could win. I think Crystal can win. I think she has all the right pieces in place. And I think the more folks, people love to split their ballot. They love to be independent minded, as they should be. They love to think about candidates rather than just parties. They like to think about issues. And I think there's lots of folks who will examine each of those races and the other races on the ballot through different lenses. And I think just because somebody votes for Donald Trump doesn't mean they're going to vote for Mike Keogh, doesn't mean they're going to vote for Josh Hawley.
I think you're right. I would have typically disagreed with you in the past election years, but I think you're probably right this time. Gene Evans is here. Gene, Carrie and Ian wanted you to feel what it's like to be in a super minority.
For once.
Oh, wow.
We'll take it easy.
Well, they're two of my favorites. So I heard, as I was coming in, I heard you introduce Carrie and I was like, oh, awesome. So that's great. I'm very good friends with Crystal as well. I adore her. I don't think she has a chance of winning, but certainly she should play like that, like work hard. And I will tell you, Mike Kehoe is taking this very seriously as well. And even some of his campaign staff is frustrated because you cannot talk to him about January. He is only talking about November. Everyone wants to talk about what he's going to do, and mm-hmm. he will not have it. So he is 100% focused on the general election. Spoken to him personally. Same thing as family. Don't bring it up. They are talking about November only. So he knows Crystal, obviously, and takes her campaign seriously, mm-hmm. and he's taking it seriously as well. So the trend has been for non-ticket splitters, but I think that may be different this year, somewhat because of Trump, but just in general, I think there's a lot of changes in the parties, right? There's some things are going on. And so I think you will see more ticket splitters this way around, but most of the pollsters will tell you that's not the case.
So I know you very well. You've been a good soldier, but you're more right like I was right. Mm-hmm. You're more of a Republican like I was a Republican. If Donald Trump should lose, do you feel like there is a group out there, like meeting in secret, like they're kind of ready to go, let's get back into this?
No.
Hancock didn't think so either.
No. The party is super united behind Trump. That there, if you look at the voting patterns, there are more Republicans who've committed to voting for Trump than Democrats have committed to voting for Kamala Harris. So I don't think there's another group out there. I actually think he's going to win. It's very close. I wouldn't, I'm not saying it's a landslide. He's definitely going to win. I do think he has an edge right now, but we'll see. And she could very easily win. And then we'll see if she actually has policies, because thus far she has been kind of avoiding and dodging questions when it comes to what she's actually going to do, other than a few price controls, $25,000, checks to people who want to buy a home, things that are probably not going to help mm-hmm. the economy. But we'll see if she has some real plans when she's elected, although she is in office now, so I don't know.
I've been impressed with her because I didn't start out impressed with her. I started out kind of, mm-hmm. whenever she's that lady. But when she found out she was going to be the nominee and in one day had locked up the delegates, I'm like, for love of God, I can't do my laundry.
She's a good
one
politician.
Day.
You know what would impress me is if she got in front of a camera right now and said, let's stop shooting at the president. Let's not just, let's tone down the violence on both sides, but please stop shooting at the former president.
Do you think that's fair, though? I mean, do you think that's a fair criticism from Trump to her side? I mean, it sounds dumb to say just because he's the only one who's been shot at, but you know what I mean? It's like we're both pretty guilty. Like everyone's got mud on their face.
I think it's been gone over the top, and I think that just yesterday Hillary Clinton was on MSNBC saying, he's an existential threat to democracy. I mean, you can't keep saying these things and think that some crazy people out there are not normal people like the people in this room. I don't think we have crazies in here. Aren't going to take that seriously. So
I don't think that's a good approach anyway. I've never been a fan of the giant hyperbole. He's an existential threat to democracy. Most people don't know
that's
that
their
means.
Whole campaign, though.
And that's because he is. That's because he tried a coup. And, you know, we're the only country, I think, the only country I can think of. I used to have this friend, Saeed, who ran a Moroccan restaurant, who told me this, and it stuck with me ever since. He came from Morocco, and he said, man, we had a coup in our country, too. And the guy who tries that doesn't try it again, doesn't run for office again, doesn't win the party nomination again.
Listen,
he is a threat to democracy. And I don't think
still denying 2016 election. Like, you can't
say. She conceded the next morning.
She conceded
the election on television and said Donald Trump won.
He stole the election. Her campaign sent money for the Steele dossier. She tried to.
She conceded the next morning on television. Donald Trump staged a coup.
Donald Trump also said that no officers were hurt during January 6th.
Well, Kamala Harris just said we have no troops in harm's way. So that, you know, both of these candidates.
Well, I mean, do we back the blue or do we not? I mean, Donald Trump he wants to go ahead and pardon all of these folks that were found guilty of harming law enforcement on January 6th when he had attempted coup.
I think that's a little hyperbole.
Is it? That's what the courts found over and over. But I'm just a law and order candidate. I don't know.
I think a lot of those charges have been trumped up, to use a bad, you know, like, I don't know how else to say that. But if someone assaulted a police officer, then they should be held accountable for that. And I think that that is everyone in this room agrees with that. So, yes. But no, if you're going to say that Trump is responsible for the actions of a huge mob after he tweeted and
or inciting violence, isn't that what you just said that Kamala Harris was doing?
He
got it.
Posted 2 hours after this whole thing started, please stop and go home. And he made a video to stop and go home. I haven't seen Kamala do that.
Did she have a rally where she was saying, like, let's go hang Mike Pence?
No, but okay. There's only one candidate that's getting shot at right now.
You know, Barack Obama, there were 11 assassination attempts on him. Did you know that? And how many times did Donald Trump say that he was not born in this country? What is Donald Trump going to apologize for that and say no more violence against him?
He's not getting shot at right now. I'm talking about what's happening right now, not what happened 20 years ago. Right now, we have one candidate there's been two assassination attempts in less than 60 days. The party that is calling him, saying he needs to be eliminated, should stop saying that.
So is Donald Trump saying anything about Kamala Harris being a communist who needs to be stopped and eliminated as an existential threat?
Is she being shot at?
Does she have to be shot at for him to stop saying that?
No, but I'm saying that one candidate's getting shot at and the other one isn't. So to say that it's his responsibility, he's the one that needs to tone it down. When he's the one who's the victim here, he's the one who's being shot at. She's not being shot at. The one candidate, they're trying to say, Trump needs to tone it down.
Do you think that their language is different, or do you think it just matters because he's the one that's being shot at?
I think there's two things. One, I think everybody needs to tone it down. But if you look at the news media, including a lot of Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, they're blaming Trump for him getting shot at. And I don't think that's right.
How are they blaming him for that?
Well, they keep saying he needs to tone it down and he caused it.
How is that blaming, though?
They're basically saying that he's incited the violence against himself.
Did they say that?
Yes.
They said he incited this violence against himself.
He's the one who has caused this. You get on Twitter. You'll see it.
Okay.
But less than like 24 hours after the man was, there was another attempt on his life. Hillary Clinton is once again saying he has to be eliminated. He's a threat to democracy.
Wasn't Donald Trump calling immigrants vermin yesterday?
What does that have to do with it?
That's not exactly soft speech, is it?
Well, first of all, I didn't hear him say that yesterday. Okay. I don't think he had any public appearances. But two, that's different. He is the one getting shot at.
Okay, so he can say whatever he wants as long as he continues to get shot at.
Now you're putting words into my mouth.
Boy, it's too bad you're married, Kevin. You may have met your soulmate.
I mean, we gingers get after him. I'm not even
between you and Karen.
I just texted that to Andrew. I'm like, gingers, we don't play.
You're not playing around. All right, take a quick break before you are back. DGS and KMOX. Guys, DGS, we have Ian Carey and Gene just talking about whatever we feel like talking about. So from where I'm sitting and I get to meet everyone and everyone's nice to me, I'm feeling very good about Missouri. It's feeling somewhat humane and cooperative once we got past the Republican primary for governor, right? Is that just a pipe dream because I'm sitting here in a studio? I mean, do you feel...
Yes.
Is it?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's relative. Like, yeah, is it a calmer period without the ads from Bill Eigel and all of that rhetoric out there? Yeah, sure. But, you know, I think there's still the same issues still divide both sides, and the same issues are still alive in this campaign. You know, the race for governor, for example, I mean, Mike Kehoe presents himself the way you were describing yourself and the way you're describing Gene, and, you know, center right and moderate, et cetera. And demeanor wise, yeah, demeanor wise, for sure, much more than, you know, the folks he just beat in the Republican primary. But when you listen to what's being said, whether that's, you know, what rights women have, whether that's what rights little girls have after they're raped by their father, right? His position on that's the same as Bill Eigel's if he's governor. That issue still divides people and gets them fired up. And listening to him, I listened to him on a radio show yesterday morning, talking about the issue we were just talking about, the assassination attempts, and trying to, using us versus them language, and talking about, first, you know, they were coming after his finances and coming after his taxes, and then they came after him in court, and now they're you know, got all these trials against him, and now they're trying to kill him. And equating our justice system, the jury of his peers who convicted him, the judges who are making decisions in courtrooms, prosecutors who are bringing cases, equating all of those folks with an assassin. That's really dangerous.
Is your best guess that Mike Kehoe believes that, or he's saying it because he has to?
I don't know. I can take him at his. I can only do for him and with him what I would do with anyone else, which is take them at their word.
I would say 90% of Republicans agree with that. Also, I will say, though, that Mike Kehoe has a different position. He stated this early in the campaign with regard to the abortion, that there should be exceptions for rape and incest. He said that early on in the campaign, and he caught a lot of heat from some primary people saying, oh, you're never going to win taking that position. But that is the position by almost every federally elected official mm-hmm. in the state. And Mike Kehoe has taken that position. So it's not quite as extreme as Bill Eigel. I would say most Republicans are also in line with that, that those exceptions should be there. I think he is, you know, I think he's a more of a Reagan conservative. The difference is between him and the other candidates was not so much policy as it is style and leadership skills. So having worked with all these guys now for, you know, over 8 years, and interviewed them extensively for different clients for their positions, there is a leadership quality that Mike Kehoe has that is sort of rare, and I think will serve the state well. I'm excited about it. I've been wrong about politicians before. Hopefully I'm not wrong. I don't think I will be. Mike Kehoe is somebody who has done so many favors for so many people, and he doesn't remember that because that's just what he does. Like, he doesn't be like, well, you owe me, or you better do this for me. It is... You know, like the roof came off of the Missouri Republican Party when I was there from a tornado. Within 2 days, he was showed up. Oh, just come into my campaign headquarters. Doesn't even think about it. Like, that's just what you do. We wind around the halls. He'll say, are you OK? How can I help? And he means it. And he will do what he can to help you. Now, he's not going to do something that he doesn't agree with policy wise, but he is very good at massaging issues and coming to consensus. And we kind of joke around, if he could make $1 million selling four Tauruses to people, then he certainly knows how to negotiate a deal and sell people on things. And I think his art is persuasion and leadership as opposed to bullying. I do think you'll see a huge change here. If Trump is not elected, you're going to see huge divisions within the Republican Party trying to figure out where they're going. I think that with Kamala, I think that's going to unify the Democrats even more. So if she wins, if she loses, I don't think it really divides them. I don't know as well, but I can tell you if Trump loses, it's going to be kind of Lord of the Flies within the Republican Party figuring out where they want to go.
Ian, great to see you. Carrie, very,
thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Come back anytime. Quick break, right back. DGS.
I am just a cowboy, lonesome on the trail. A starry night, a campfire light.
You guys seen the Nutter Butter stuff?
So they, apparently, they have a wild TikTok account, but I haven't seen it.
It's
I refuse to go to it because all these things are coming up. Are like, you guys, you have to see it. I'm like, no, I don't.
Good for you. I didn't seek it out, but it was not a friend sent it to me, but a TikToker was here it is. Here's what everyone's talking about, and it just looks like you're on an acid trip. It's just Nutter Butter cookies in lots of different weird places.
Okay,
nothing's going to change your day.
So the people that are pushing this, they're just getting paid. They're like ads, because that's what I feel
either
like I'm getting.
That or they're the most excitable people I've ever seen.
I keep getting the ones like, you guys.
Yeah.
The Nutter Butter account on TikTok, it's going crazy.
No, to me, it does the opposite. Like, I like Nutter Butters.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about them.
They're phenomenal.
30 years, but I might have bought them. But now going to this, I'm like, oh, you're just playing me.
Yeah.
I hate brands, man. I hate when brands want to do like a cutesy thing or whatever. Like, just make your Nutters and I'll eat them.
I gotta tell you, that makes me think about how I don't think I can remember the last time I bought like those kind of boxed cookies at the store. I've become a cookie snob.
How so?
I just want the fresher ones, the ones that are made in the bakery or the ones I can get at an actual bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm gonna eat cookies, I want those.
Keebler fudge sticks.
Yeah. I don't think I bought those in 25 years.
Those are the jam.
Yeah. I mean, I remember them being good. I loved Nutter Butters. I've always have, but...
I like a fudge round.
Why did you say
that? It's not
like
a cookie.
I like a fudge round. Yes, it is. You don't think a fudge round's a cookie?
No.
But yeah, a Nutter Butter is?
Yeah, it is. It's a cookie with the chocolate on the bottom, right?
Well, the authority has spoken.
No, you're talking about Little Debbie's.
Yeah, Little Debbie's fudge rounds.
They're the size of hamburger nipples.
They are now.
Yeah, that's not a cookie.
It's
a cake.
Scope.
Oh, they're big. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Scope hit those things hard, man. They used to be like this big. They're like enormous now.
I remember when you found them. Like you hadn't seen them for years.
I hadn't had them in a long time because I was always told that they were prohibitively expensive, which I think was my parents just trying to save me.
Hostess cannot carry Little Debbie's cleats to the field.
This is correct.
Not even
this is objective,
close.
Especially now, post when they like closed and disappeared for a while.
Opened
and came
back up as crap.
Yeah, no, it is.
We decided not to make snack cakes anymore. We're making crap.
Except for the fruit pies, those are better.
Yeah, they're still good.
Yeah.
I'm just a cowboy, lonesome on the trail. A starry night, a campfire light.
You guys seen the Nutter Butter stuff?
So apparently they have a wild TikTok account. But I haven't seen it.
It's
I refuse to go to it because all these things are coming up. Are like, you guys, you have to see it. I'm like, no, I don't.
Good for you. I didn't seek it out, but it was not a friend sent it to me, but a TikToker was here it is. Here's what everyone's talking about. And it just looks like you're on an acid trip. It's just Nutter Butter cookies in lots of different weird places.
Okay.
Nothing's going to change your day.
So the people that are pushing this, they're just getting paid. They're like ads, because that's what I feel
either
like I'm getting.
Either that or they're the most excitable people I've ever seen.
I keep getting the ones like, you guys.
Yeah.
The Nutter Butter account on TikTok, it's going crazy.
No, to me, it does the opposite. Like, I like Nutter Butters.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about them.
They're phenomenal.
30 years, but I might have bought them. But now going to this, I'm like, oh, you're just playing me.
Yeah.
I hate brands, man. I hate when brands want to do like a cutesy thing or whatever. Like, just make your Nutters and I'll eat them.
I gotta tell you, that makes me think about how I don't think I can remember the last time I bought like those kind of boxed cookies at the store. I've become a cookie snob.
How so?
I just want the fresher ones, the ones that are made in the bakery or the ones I can get at an actual bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm gonna eat cookies, I want those.
Keebler fudge sticks.
Yeah. I don't think I bought those in 25 years.
Those are the jam.
Yeah. I mean, I remember them being good. I loved Nutter Butters. I've always have, but...
I like a fudge round.
Why did you say
that? It's not
like
a cookie.
That?
I like a fudge round. Yes, it is. You don't think a fudge round's a cookie?
No.
But yeah, a Nutter Butter is?
Yeah, it is. It's a cookie with the chocolate on the bottom, right?
Well, the authority has spoken.
No, you're talking about Little Debbie's.
Yeah, Little Debbie's fudge rounds.
They're the size of hamburger nipples.
They are now.
Yeah, that's not a cookie.
It's
a cake.
Scope.
Oh, they're big. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Scope hit those things hard, man. They used to be like this big. They're like enormous now.
I remember when you found them. Like you hadn't seen them for years.
I hadn't had them in a long time because I was always told that they were prohibitively expensive, which I think was my parents just trying to save me.
Hostess cannot carry Little Debbie's cleats to the field.
This is correct.
Not even
this is objective, especially now, post when they like closed and disappeared for a while.
Opened
and came
back up as crap.
Yeah, no, it is.
We decided not to make snack cakes anymore. We're making crap,
except for the fruit pies. Those are better.
Yeah, they're still good.
Yeah.
In a town in Mexico, I got my job busting Bronx for the rodeo.